is interesting at the very end of the parsha. So we have the text of the parsha that we know as Parsha Zachar. Zachar says, "Asol l'chol Amalek b'derech b'tzeis chamim Mitzrayim." Remember that which Amalek did to you as you were leaving Mitzrayim. Shakarcho b'derech v'izanim b'chol kol nachashol macharecha v'ata oyev yageyav al yorei elokim. This was shortly after Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Jewish people were in a certain way ailing, maybe in their avodas Hashem lo yorei elokim, and that's precisely when Amalek jumped on them. And of course, the parsha concludes that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah, Timcha Zeichra Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim Lo Tishkach. Not only do we remember Amalek, we have to not forget it, and Timcha Zeichra, there's a mitzvah to erase Amalek, erase the name of Amalek. And that's one of the mitzvahs, one of the three mitzvahs, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael are required to build the Beis HaMikdash, appoint the Melech, and destroy Amalek. So it's very interesting that we read this in Adar, right before the Yontif of Purim, but it really comes from August. It comes from Parshas Ki Tse. And there's a few other points during the year where the primary location of the sources, so to speak, are very, very distant from their application. Just to give an example, at the Seder, we talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim, but the Psukim of Arami Oved Avi, Vayer Mitzrayimah, the Psukim that we darshan as we go through the Haggadah, those Psukim come from Kisavo. Even though you'd think the psukim to read at the Haggadah should be from Shemos Va'era Bo B'Shalach when the Jews are actually getting out of Mitzrayim. So we have this funny type of jumping back and forth and superimposing one part of the year on another part of the year that we find ourselves in right now. So it's sort of like Purim in August, and maybe the purpose is to get our minds to wrap around a certain concept that we put a lot of energy into focusing on at one point of the year, and make sure that it's also on our radar at this time of the year. So what is it about Amalek that has to be on our minds in Elul? Very unusual. We don't usually put those two together. So I'd like to try to give an answer that comes from a letter that Rav Kook wrote to his son. Rav Kook was the Rav of the city of Yafo in the early 1900s, 1917. He had to make a visit to Germany just before World War I broke out, and he got stuck there. And he spent the duration of World War I. He was in London for a period of time. He was a rabbi of the community there. After World War I, he ultimately made it back to Eretz Yisrael, where he stayed until he passed away in the 1930s. And he, during that time that he was stuck, far from his family, far from Eretz Yisrael, he wrote a letter to his son, and he conveys the following idea. We know that there's a mitzvah to erase Amalek. It's a funny usage. Why isn't it destroy Amalek? So we know there's a minhag. Some people write Haman's name or Amalek on the bottom of their shoe, and they stamp on it. They stamp their feet on the floor when they hear Haman. So eventually the name of Amalek is erased over the course of the Megillah. Okay, but why destroy? Why not destroy? Just get to the point. Why is it erasing? So he says there's a reference over here to a concept that is far out in left field in a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin tells us how you write a Sefer Torah. And gives us a little insight into the D.O., the ink that's used to write Sefer Torah. And it says you're not allowed to use an ingredient called kankantum. Kankantum is a chemical. It was a combination of iron and sulfur developed by the Greeks thousands of years ago that made the ink impervious to deterioration, and it was pretty much impossible to erase. And you know what the Torah says? Don't add that to your ink. It's kind of counterintuitive, right? We think something as holy as a Sefer Torah, we want to create text that will stand the test of time, and you won't have a problem where in the middle of shul, you know, someone's getting aliyah and it looks like a letter is rubbed out or has faded. But why don't we add that ingredient to make sure that the ink stays? So Cook says, evidently, it's a mistake to think that every single letter of our Sefer Torah should be everlasting. Amalek, we know, is a symbol of the Yitzhara. And it's a symbol of a lot of the challenges we face at being successful to developing to the Jews that we want to be. But Amalek, the Pasuk says, you have to erase his name, mitachas hashamayim. Right? That's a phrase which implies that Amalek is everywhere. Over the entire globe, everything in existence, anything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, there's a chance for Amalek to seep in. Even in the holiest spaces, even in our Avodas Hashem, Amalek can get his foot in the door. Sefer Torah represents the holiest thing we can possibly imagine, the holiest physical entity in this universe. Even the holy letters of the Torah, Rav Kook says, are subject to Amalek. They can slowly fade, and they may need to be erased and rewritten. We don't want them to last, even the letters of the Sefer Torah, even the holiest things we can imagine, because we want to appreciate that even those holy of holies sometimes demand whatever we've achieved to accomplish something new and raise the bar higher than we thought we were able to do before. And don't think that we can ever put on paper and ink that's static and stays the way it is. Whatever level, whatever height of spirituality, even of a Sefer Torah you think you have achieved, sometimes a Malach seeps in there also, and it demands an erasure. It demands that we stop, cross it out, and rewrite it as we strive for a higher level. Everybody knows the Gemara in Shabbos tells us a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah. If you're in presence of a Jew and he dies, you have to tear your clothing. If you're in presence of a Sefer Torah that's destroyed, you also have to tear your clothing. There's that parallel. Just like the Sefer Torah is never static, it never stays the same forever. It can fade, it needs to be rewritten, it can't be frozen in time that you can't erase it. You don't add the Kan Kanto. A Jew also sometimes needs to press refresh, and whatever levels he's achieved, he needs to convince himself that whatever I think is beyond me, whatever I think is above my ability, I can sometimes take stock of where I'm holding and push myself to what I thought was impossible. That's a Malach, that's the mitzvah of erasing them out, and that is something that has to be implanted in our consciousness this time of year. An Elul, when we're looking for the year ahead, we're looking to develop what our new goals are, what we can correct about the past, and what we can look forward to trying to accomplish in the year ahead. So we read Parsha Zachar not just around Purim time, but also right now. Kisetze is precisely where a Malach is placed in order to remind us that at this time of year where we take stock, don't convince yourself that anything is impossible. There are always higher levels that you, if you set your mind to it and you work hard, you can accomplish. And that's what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is all about, right? Yom Kippur, why do we set our standards higher than the rest of the year during Aseret Me'etzuva? We do things we never do the rest of the year. Come on, it's not real. You know, right after Yom Kippur, I'm going to go back to the way I was. Ne'ilah, it's super powerful. There's so much emotion. I'm so focused, but come on. I'm going to lose it eventually. Yes, but know that you are, even for a short window in time, raising the bar so you can establish for yourself what you're capable of, because at some point I can look back and say, you know what, if I can do that then, it should not be too far out of my reach, or at least some madrig of that, if I put my mind to it. We don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah, right? Everyone knows it's because it's going to be a sleepy year. That's what people say. My mazel is going to be sleeping there. What does that mean? What does that mean? Maybe it means that if you push yourself on that one day a year to even when you're tired, to open up the Gemara, to do something productive and not just sleep off the afternoon, you'll look back at the Rosh Hashanah when it's over and say, you know what? I put in a full day. I accomplished more than I thought I could accomplish, and that's going to be my goal for the year ahead, to find opportunities to get more done than I ever thought I was able to do, because I did it on that one day. If I could do it on that day, I can do it on July 2nd, I can do it on February 3rd, I can do it more often than I thought I could. Roger Bannister was the first man in recorded history to run the 4-minute mile in the 1960s. Before him, no one could run a 4-minute mile. Rabosai, dozens and dozens and dozens of runners, within a short time after he broke that record, also broke the record. Where were they? What happened to them? Why was this such a long-standing record? The answer is because once he broke it, it wasn't impossible anymore. Once a headline said, a human being, a man can run 4-minute mile, then everyone else said, you know what? If I train hard enough, I can do it too. I can push the bar closer to 3 minutes. The same thing is true with our Avodas Hashem. If we draw a line and say, that's it, I can't do anything better, then we will be frozen in time. We will convince ourselves, like we were talking about earlier, we will convince ourselves that that is the limit of our capabilities. And it's just not true. Let me close with a message for Pesachim. Rav Pinkus says an unbelievable idea about chametz. He says, it's mamash our tosfos. He says, chametz is unique because it's mutter the rest of the year. Suddenly, full stop, you get to Pesach, get it out of the house, destroy, burn it. You know what the message is? The message is, even the things that are always mutter, even the things that are always okay, acceptable, great, wonderful standards to keep ourselves to, Pesach, we come around again and say, we'd stop and say, you know what? The things that I've accustomed myself to being where I'm holding, burn that all. Maybe I can do better. The chametz that's mutter the rest of the year, we have to aser it for one week so that we can reflect and say, you know what? The things that I consider my baseline, maybe I can dig a little bit deeper. Maybe I can drive a little bit higher. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us to learn, to erase the Amalek, to never be convinced that we're stuck in one place, to burn the chametz, what we're used to and what we think that we're stuck at. And this should be a year of growth as we evaluate and Elul preparing for the Yom Noraim, how high we can grow. Nothing's impossible. We've got to be reasonable. We got to go slow. Sometimes we have to do it in graduated steps, but never convince ourselves that it's out of our reach. Because if we can do it once, we can do it many more times. If I can break the record, I have it within me to continue and keep striving for more. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, Rabbosai, and thank you for a great first week of Yeshiva.